Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. This is Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hello there. How are you?
I am doing great because we have figured out more pieces to the puzzle. Not only the brilliant research that has brought forth the reality that behind every voting machine practically in the world is a software called Optech, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later, but also you have discovered something that you gained through looking at the Dominion resource book or whatever it was for each of the states and in Georgia and in Arizona, and you read 591 pages, and you finally found the fatal flaw in the whole thing. So you're going to tell us today exactly how it was that the numbers were able to be manipulated and even go through a pseudo audit or a check to make sure there was no hacking of those machines. There was no messing with the machines, but you have found out the way that the elections got rigged. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. Since we talked last, I've been thinking about this some more and then reading these new documents from the U.S. U.S. Elections Assurance Commission in Washington, D.C., that was formed after a particular act was created in 2004, I believe. Anyway, they publish the actual testing that they do on all these voting machines. And so we had people pouring through these testing documents. And there's also a lot of other work being done around the country right now, which is really heartening. You remember, we were the only ones talking about this 3 years ago, except for a few people involved with evaluating Fraction Magic, which was really helpful also. So we're starting to see some big picture here. And one of the big pictures is there are many ways to engage in voter fraud. And what these bad boys have done is they use them all for different purposes. And what that also does in using a bunch of different techniques all at once is it keeps everyone confused, because you can see fraud at the local level, you can see fraud at the middleman level, and you can see fraud at the national and international level. And so it's like this brilliant pebble strategy. You're not sure which one to shoot at. And initially, as we have done for many years, we just started looking at each one and identifying, okay, that's fraud. So what we've seen is their big picture strategy is during an election, while the election votes are coming in, the strategy is to keep the vote numbers being reported to the media close, or at least close enough, so when the big flips happen, there's such blips on the screen that most people don't notice. So consequently, we have actual fraud at the ballot machines where they're running through a stack of ballots. They're all going for Biden. Or a ballot gets crumpled and they put it aside, and then the person thinks that their vote is going to get registered the way they voted, and the votes go for Biden. And as we now can see across the country, the reporting is consistent. The fraud is all one way. It's all votes for Biden. So there's that. There's keeping the vote close. And so they allow precinct workers, people that work for the Secretary of State, to engage in all sorts of nefarious activity at the local level to keep the votes coming in as many as often for Biden. But they've got a big picture switch, which has been difficult to nail down. But in looking at the documents that have been provided by this U.S. Election Assurance Commission, we finally believe that we've gotten underneath this cover. And it's as we have come to know about these corrupt bureaucrats, it's all buried in legalese and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of pages of documents that look official. And so For those of us out actually doing work, we don't want to take the time to go through that. And we've always hoped in the past that our elected officials and our designated regulators were looking at it. Now we're seeing, no, they weren't looking at it. They were in on the scam. And in particular, last week, we discovered that in very important aspects of testing the Dominion system, I'll focus on Dominion, but it's the same for all the others. They used a company out of Canada. Now, we're talking about Crown citizens, subjects of the Crown, are hired to do very important testing of our Dominion systems in Canada. And as we can see now, that same reporting and that same testing is used in all the states where Dominion is used. So it's the same report duplicated 20 or 30 times. And it's a company called Tuv Sud. And it is at its core a German-Swiss company. It looks like a German company, but we've had people digging into the financial reports of this company. And lo and behold, the ultimate owner of the German company is a Swiss company. But let's stick with Germany and Canada. And in their report, they go through great detail. Parts of it look like a normal engineering testing document, except the exceptions. And as we have talked many times, Douglas, it's the art of the exception is the way these bureaucrats get away with their bad acts. And in this case, they exempted this Tuv Sud company from testing certain aspects of these Dominion voting systems having to do with outside connectivity. In other words, connection to the internet or to a network. And that turns out to be the smoking gun. Because in these documents, we also see that all of these individual Dominion voting machines, the actual pieces of hardware, are all PCs in the end. So I'm going to try to simplify this. They're all personal computers that just look different because they have a screen on them that's shaped for voting. But in the end, they're running Windows in the background. And they're all connected to each other in a local precinct. And then the question is, what happens when these individual voting machines are connected to a central server that might be stuck in the back room in that precinct? And it's no different than what would be happening in a company where you have a lot of PCs connected to a server. And the argument in all of these documents is that the Dominion system is not connected to an outside network, and therefore this Tuv Sud company was exempted from testing anything that had to do with connectivity, with telecommunications, and get this, vulnerability. They did not have to test that. So we started reading back in probably page 200 in one of the reports. We saw a detailed description of all the software that is used in these Dominion systems. And there's a whole section, a whole table on Microsoft products that have in one way or another to do with what's called the Microsoft Internet Information Service, IIS, which is quite common these days. It used to be the Exchange server, but with the advent of the web, they've now used mostly this IIS server. And it describes that all of these individual Dominion voting machines are all connected to the Microsoft Internet Information Server. So what does that mean? Let's say you go into a gymnasium and there's 30 Dominion voting machines in the gymnasium and they're all connected to something. You don't know what it is. And they're all telling you it's not connected to the outside world. Well, I am totally convinced that's a lie, because you don't use the Microsoft Internet Information Server if you're not going to connect to the internet. You with me so far, Douglas?
Oh, absolutely. And we know that they use that system to go in for their maintenance, so we know they use the internet.
And I'm with you too. This is an exciting story. Keep talking, Michael.
Okay. So we have these voting machines all connected to this Microsoft Internet Information Server, which they say is not connected to the outside world. Well, you're not going to use that kind of server if you're not going to connect to the outside world. Plus, you can't download any updates to the information server unless it's connected to the internet. So at the very least, it's the flip of one switch that connects that server to the internet through an Ethernet cable or a telephone line. Ethernet is the blue cord that's often coming into your computer, or the old-fashioned telephone modems are connected to the outside world. So that exemption that they gave to Dominion and the testing up in Canada opens the door to this story. And let's keep it simple. Let's not go down to the precinct level. Let's just talk about state by state. So state by state, you've got all of these Dominion machines connected to this Microsoft Internet server. Now, the question is, what is that connected to? And bottom line, it appears that those servers are connected to that company in Germany, Seidel. And when you think about it from a global perspective, if these guys really want to control elections all over the world, and they don't want to be thwarted by a lot of people trying to grab votes here, there, and everywhere at the local level, all they want them to do is keep the vote close. And in the end, there's now an ability for all of these machines to be accessed by a central server, which is likely the Seidel server, that's sitting in another country, and they can easily go in and flip the votes on any particular vote total in any machine in the world that they're connected to. That's what we're seeing here. And so to do that, here's the big picture. To do that requires Microsoft to be a part of this conspiracy. And it's even more simple than that. In every Microsoft installation, they have lots of files that run the operating system for a personal computer or a server, and those are called executable files. And these are the programs that actually run, and you see those on your screen. So all they need is one executable file called the OpTec software sitting inside, buried deep, somewhere in the Microsoft libraries that only they know about. And all they have to do is execute that one file, and every Dominion voting machine in the world is accessible to that network. And that requires knowledge that the executable file is there and connection to it, which can easily be managed by this Microsoft Internet Information Service. So there we see how they roll it up. And I've believed for 2 or 3 years now that they only bother with this man in the middle capability in swing states where the vote is kept close. And we've noticed, haven't we, that the vote is kept close in all Democratic strongholds where the corruption of the local governments is very high. And so things like fake ballots, dead people voting, pets voting, photocopied ballots, all those things can occur there because there's a culture of corruption in that particular area. And so that's what we saw happening during the night of the election. They were keeping the vote somewhat close, but as we saw when the machine counting stopped in the middle of the night, they weren't keeping it close enough even for their vote flipping algorithms to give enough votes to Biden. So they were taking votes away from Trump and giving them to Biden. And so what they had to do in the middle of the night is adjust that algorithm to boost the number of votes for Biden so that in the end, there would be an incrementally more group of votes for Biden than Trump. So the cooperation of Microsoft is the new thing that we have learned from looking at these testing documents. And the fact that all of the Microsoft components within the Dominion system were exempted from being tested by employees of this Tu Sud company up in Ontario, Canada, is a smoking gun. Because if it, so here we had, and the reason this came out this morning was because we saw a press release that Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State in Georgia, put out on the 17th, where he declared that they had done a random selection of Dominion voting machines used throughout the states, and they evaluated those machines for hacking, any evidence of hacking or foul play. And he said, we came out totally clean, not a single instance of any mischief in these systems. Well, what I just described for you a minute ago explains why, because the hacking isn't something where an intruder came in. The intrusion software is actually buried in the Microsoft product, which wasn't tested. So there would be no way for any kind of intrusion analysis to find this, because this software was actually installed on the Microsoft operating system for the Internet Information Server. And at worst, somebody's going to argue, well, they weren't connected to the internet. You could still use that in a local intranet. That is true. But all that takes is a crooked administrator, or it takes knowledge of how to penetrate a particular computer in a local area network in order for somebody from the outside to come in and turn the switch on to allow that server to then be connected to the internet. So it would be a manageable task by a central group of people in Germany now, with Microsoft's total cooperation, has to be total, because they have quality testing in all of those installations of the IIS server. So somebody in their quality group had to be turning a blind eye to allow that OpTec software to be running within the Microsoft interface to allow this kind of hacking at this kind of level. I think in the old days, that OpTec software was actually buried in these devices like the Diebold device. But anymore, they realized that that's too easy for people to find. And so they've now changed it with the cooperation of Microsoft. I'm going to stop talking now.
And it's been shown that the OpTec software is completely vulnerable. It has no security controls on it. Anyone can get into it. And so we had already, through your research and the research of the miners, with the Ohio election years ago, the Diebold machines were proven to be fractionalized voting. Every single Diebold machine that was checked would not count one vote per one person. It would fractionalize them, and there would be a code written into the source code or commands that then can create the algorithms that make sure that the vote is always close, but always goes to the victor that is decided ahead of time by a couple percentage points. And so we knew that that type of manipulation was there. And going back a little ways, people keep talking about Smartmatic being founded in 2000. That is late. That is coming to the game late. In the early 70s, in Venezuela, in Argentina, in Chile, the CIA was already using OpTec. In 1974, was a DARPA project. And it didn't come out of DARPA, but it OpTec itself, this laser reading capacity patent, was already being used by defense agencies in Britain, in Canada. And then it took up a DARPA project in the early 70s. Why? Because it was the very thing that the CIA needed to control elections worldwide. So it didn't start with Venezuela and Cesar Chavez. It was back with long before Jimmy. It was during Jimmy Carter's time, when Carlos Perez was the president. He was placed there by OpTec software. How do we know that? Because Lord Mark Malik Brown was at his first placement at the United Nations as the special assistant deputy to the High Commissioner for Refugees, and he was going to Venezuela and working with the CIA and Jimmy Carter to develop what the CIA needed to rig elections in South America so that America could feel as though it had some control there. Also Central America. Once they perfected it and they got this DARPA approved, DARPA created and probably DARPA funded through a Canadian company, OpTec, it was then used in elections all over the world, and Mark Malik Brown and Jeffrey Patty got a hold of it, and they brag that they have controlled elections in 17 different countries. And
right, that's on their website.
They say how many billions of votes they've handled. Well, that's the software. Now, the machines are a fight between different people trying to get hold of those contracts for those machines, because if you have the contracts for the machines, you can determine who's going to be elected in a state. So Mitt Romney and Bain Capital came in when there was a antitrust consideration with Sequoia, and the early Diebold became Premier, and Premier became ESNS, and ESNS became Dominion, and Dominion gives their information to Seidel, and Seidel gives it to Agility, and Agility and Seidel are controlled by Paragon and Paragon Group subsidies. A subsidiary of Paragon Group. And then they recently, Seidel, the one everybody says counted the 2020 votes, they went bankrupt in May of 2020. So they say, but it doesn't matter because immediately a group started that absorbed them that is called Supervisors of Elections. And then another group came in called Service Point Solutions. And they both say they took control of Seidel. And then Paragon says it's the mother company. And then you don't know who has any control over any of this. But what you have found is the ultimate Bill Gates buy-in to trying to control elections across the world, which is part of his megalomaniac, genocidal, vaccine insanity, and all the other insane things he does. But he definitely, this makes sense that if Mitt Romney and his and tag Romney can buy Smartmatic, I mean buy Heart InterCivic outright just to compete with the two people who were actually controlling it, who were non-Americans. And when they say Smartmatic was started in 2000, no, it wasn't. It was long before that. It was in the 70s, and it was part of OpTec, but it was kept hidden because it was the CIA's election rigging device. And Lord Mark Malik Brown was part of it back then. Now it's not even Smartmatic; it's SGO. SGO, what is it? Corporation Limited or something. Anyway, that is a company owned by Mark Malik Brown, and you, as you've pointed out, Sir Nigel Knowles, connected to a lot of people that they shouldn't be connected to. These people have been doing this for a long time. But we did not know until this recent discovery of you and the miners that Microsoft, anytime any voting machine speaks to another voting machine through digital communication, it is, as we have already pointed out, someone on their phone can walk by, intercept that if it's a wireless transmission, manipulate it. Well, we now know from what you have pointed out that Microsoft Internet information servers actually are completely open, and we trust their security system somehow, and then it gets sent to Barcelona, and then it gets our data gets sent to Barcelona since out of the country, owned by foreign investors, since out of the country to Barcelona, Frankfurt, gets knocked around. Who all sees it? God only knows. We heard Sidney Powell the other day say that China gets to see it, Iran gets to see it, and just about anybody who wants to see it can see it. And then we find out that a German company that goes back to the 1800s that is noted for their corruption and for their inability to prove the efficacy of anything, they are like the auditors for anything digital. And so Dominion has a contract to say, we're not culpable. We had the tests run, and the tests were run by a German company to find out if Microsoft is actually able to be penetrated anytime a voting machine goes on the internet, which it is. You have said from the beginning, the second there's any communication, man in the middle comes into play. Well, we don't only have man in the middle. We have company after company in the middle. Companies you cannot trust. Why would we be trusting Seidel or two companies that supposedly both say they bought Seidel after the bankruptcy to tally our votes when we can see that the manipulations and the flips and the fractional voting and the algorithms to fractionalize it and to give Biden the election is as plain as the nose on our face?
I need to point out one thing, Douglas, that TÜV SÜD company that's out of Germany with the office in Canada that's testing the Dominion systems has 3,000 employees on mainland China. 3,000, that's a big company. Just that one subsidiary.
Well,
then you look at, let me talk a little bit more about TÜV SÜD. TÜV SÜD is this huge conglomerate. You talked about its reputation. For doing vehicle testing. It looks like this company, which has probably got, I'm going to guess, about 140 subsidiaries around the world, all that start out with TÜV SÜD and then the name of the company or the country. They, when you read their corporate documents, first of all, you read it in one level and you can't figure out what they do, but they're about sustainability. They're about rapid innovation. They're about continuous change. They're about global warming. I mean, you know, this is this warm, fuzzy company that does engineering somehow, but you're not quite sure. And then they do testing, but you're not quite sure. So what it looks like is this is the globalist company that's going to be managing a lot of the lockdown data keeping as we move forward. And so doesn't it make sense that they would have used one of their subsidiaries in Canada outside the U.S. to test our election systems in the U.S.? I mean, that right there is just totally outrageous. We don't, we've got huge amounts of engineering capability in the U.S. and our U.S. Elections Assurance Commission is sending the testing now, but specifically they're testing all of the electronic communications capabilities and the radio capabilities of these pieces of equipment. So what's the flip side? If you test these pieces of equipment and you know all their vulnerabilities, how easy would it be to find a vulnerability and then keep it to yourself? And there, then you have a unique control on all the equipment that you want to get into by exploiting that vulnerability. We gave that to Canada.
Well, these are digital auditors, digital assessors. And as we know, when those people lie, there's a tremendous amount at stake. And so TÜV SÜD having 3,000 employees in China means that their Chinese subsidiary must be in compliance with the Communist Central Committee being in control of that company. So that's how the Chinese probably got what Sidney Powell said was, you know, the inside track.
I'm totally convinced of that. I mean, you can't, there's no mistaking this document. Microsoft is running this whole operation. And these machines are like PCs in your office. The real power of this server is in the Microsoft Internet Information Server that's managing the connections for all these machines. What's the other benefit of that? The other benefit is if you grab one of these machines and do testing, you don't see anything wrong. You don't see any intrusion. Why? There is no intrusion. All the data is being manipulated outside of the machine once it reports to the server. And this is so tricky. Every engineer that was involved in this, A, should be ashamed of themselves, but they have committed treason.
And if they seize the voting machines and they analyze them, they may not find the rigging.
No, they won't. They won't. That's what Raffensperger said. Hey, we tested them and we have a clean bill of health. Well, why would he have done that so proactively if he didn't already know what the answer was?
Exactly. And I'm thinking that I saw that Dominion stores their data in Amazon Cloud servers. And if that's the case, then Microsoft can wash their hands clean by saying, oh, well, the information went to Amazon. It was being held there. And of course, we know Amazon, as soon as they got those military contracts, they were hacked. They couldn't keep track of the data, and there were massive security breaches. So we know that Microsoft can then say that, you know, they're not complicit. It happened somewhere in between in the magical internet digital land of virtual nonsense.
Let me point out that the Microsoft servers often use cloud-based storage. So they could use Amazon's, they could use anybody's, their own. Microsoft has a database called Access. But at this level, they want a global control. By the way, flipping votes is not that much math. I mean, we all took basic math. That's all it takes. So what their real trick is, the algorithm for flipping the votes in such a way that it's imperceptible, and then all of a sudden it goes to the person you want it to go to. And so these internet information servers could easily be storing their equipment on Amazon.
Yes, and I suggest that Cesar Chavez did not invent this system. He simply took what was already being used against them in South America by the CIA, made it his own, adjusted the software, and made sure that he got elected, and then basically, you know, that's the history of Venezuela going down the toilet. So essentially, what is going on here is there's so much corruption that if they could find the truth, it would be obscured and obfuscated by the fact that they skirted around it again, like Seidel being sold to three different companies, and right. then a mother company being invented that absorbs it all, or Smartmatic is not really Smartmatic. No, no, no. And you hear Mark Malik Brown saying, no, no, Smartmatic was this and Smartmatic was that. No, no, wrong. SGO Smartmatic is the one that just ran the last election. He didn't answer any questions about SGO Smartmatic, which he owns. He is the principal founder of that. But he was also there with the CIA in South America when Optech was invented as a DARPA project. So he has known about this from the beginning, but he keeps dodging like the British always do. They have shell companies and shadow companies and foundations. And by the end, it always goes to a tax-exempt foundation that's only doing philanthropic work. Complete nonsense. This is a group of, it is a cabal of election riggers that goes back to Jimmy Carter, the CIA, and South American CIA election rigging through the United Nations directly with Sir Mark Malik Brown.
No question in my mind. And the other thing that I think everyone needs to realize is that one of the reasons it's so hard to get information on these companies and their relationships is because the CIA is involved. What they do is they use, and I'm MI6, by the way. We need to add CIA and MI6 because really we're talking about Five Eyes here. We're talking about the Pilgrim Society, Privy Council, Five Eyes control that is attempting this New World Order. And so what they do is they use the power of the state secrecy agreements to lock down any information that might otherwise come out about them. And one of the things they do is they edit or redact corporate documents, or they're very slow to process them. So when they make all these flips and reverse mergers and name changes and things like this, it's hard to, in finding the thread, to identify facts that you can then use in court. So that's the way they keep ahead of the game. Yeah.
Michael, so we have this executive order that was signed on September of 2018 regarding foreign election interference. And all that we've been reporting for the last 2 to 3 years is about foreign election interference. And this is, and you're showing the system. Now, the DNI is supposed to give Trump a report within 45 days of the election to give a report, say, was there any foreign election interference? Is he going to include all this? Or are we going to be shortchanged again and the truth be suppressed? How would you encapsulate all this? This has got to be a report that's at least a million pages.
Well, that's what they count on. They count on people being confused by all the conflicting information, not conflicting, but confusing information, and not being able to sort it out. But I think it's simple. I think they can make it very simple because the documents that we've discovered in the last two or three days proves the point about foreign interference. When you have a foreign company managing the certification of the voting machines in most of our states in the nation, including all the Dominion machines, and I think 20, how many, Douglas, how many states, 20?
Dominion, yeah, over 20, Hart InterCivic, 17. There's only like three people who have all the contracts.
ES&S, Hart InterCivic, and Dominion. I forget what my point was.
Well, then while you're thinking about that, so how do you umbrella all of this to show that the Democrat Party was a part of this crime against America? Can you take what you just said, top level stuff, and work it right back to the Democrat Party?
Well, that's a good one. I haven't thought about it that way.
Douglas, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, you can see Mitt Romney is a Democrat, and Mitt, when he saw that he could buy a piece of the pie, it was kind of like Michael Chertoff getting a few of the federal bridge certification authority crypto keys. You know, they wedge their way in and they get a piece of it. So the Diebold people when they were selling the Diebold machines, they were Republican. So you could say probably all the rest were Democrats. Now, Mark Malik Brown, who controls so much of this, what is he? He is whatever the globalists decide at any moment, whatever the Uniparty selects. So just as Sidney Powell said, this is a chance to show that any Democrat, any Republican, through this system can buy their way into an election and win that election. Now, to go back to your question, Betsy, what is John Ratcliffe going to do from the Director of National Intelligence Office? Well, Homeland Security was in charge of this election. They should have tons of evidence now. The thing that makes me think that there are multiple cases going on, first off, there's the national security case, and I'm going to address that in a second, but then there's also Rudy Giuliani's hundreds and hundreds of affidavits, and then there's Sidney Powell, who's saying that she has total over 1,000 affidavits of the corruption stated by citizens. And both of them seem to have their own separate things, as well as there's Trump's lawyers, as well as there's going to be the Department of National Intelligence. Now, what are they going to be able to tell? A tremendous amount, because this fraud was so deep and it's so pervasive. But what has been realized here by the miners and Michael McKibben is the real secret to the whole thing. Now, they would have seen the evidence, but who they would blame it on would be another question. But this is a conspiracy. It had to be premeditated. And so what we're seeing here is a multiple-pronged attack against this corruption, and it doesn't matter whether it's Democrat or Republican. Most of it's foreign influence, and that's how Trump can get all of them. And I'm encouraged because of the fact that recently Special Ops was raised up basically into having its own seat on the National Security Council, and it looks as if Gina Haspel in the CIA's seat was taken away from her. Well, what this means is Special Ops can operate within the United States. The CIA could also do that, but the FBI couldn't. And the Department of Defense in general can't. But what this says to me is the CIA is out, the Department of Defense is in, and the reason it's in is because we're dealing with treason here. We're dealing with also foreign actors. What are we going to do about these foreign actors in Spain, in Germany, in Britain, in China? Tuv Sud, we have to go after them. Well, they're German. They're a foreign war actor, because this is war. When you attack an election of a country, it's war. But who did that? Who's the best at that? we once made a list of how many elections the CIA has meddled in, and how do they meddle in it? Through the election machines, the software, but also through exiting polls. If they state that the election didn't seem right, and it's usually the fake, it's the rogue CIA, the CIA, and the non-government organizations that supported by Soros and other globalists, they're there and they say the election is invalid. So out of the blue, from exit polls, they say the efficacy of the election is off and America won't stand behind it. That's the CIA, folks. They've been doing it for a long time. They did it twice in Ukraine, right in front of our eyes, with John McCain, Lindsey Graham leading the charge. We've seen it all over the world. We've seen CIA election rigging. And what they call it is, oh, no, it's not an election rigging. It's called a regime change. Right. And if the White House, and who's ever in the White House, decides that a regime is a regime that they don't like, well, then it's perfectly fine for the CIA to take them down. But we're going to disavow that America had anything to do with it, because the CIA is nothing but black ops, sabotage, lies, cheating, and in every way against the Geneva Convention and anything to do with civil rights or human rights. So this is beautiful that Trump has made special ops into its own agency, more or less, which now is basically going to replace the CIA, in my opinion.
I'm going to respond. Well, you said a mouthful right there, Douglas, but I'm going to respond to Tyler's question. I don't care whether Republican or Democrats win an election. I want the election to be fair. And as you'll recall, we really dug deep into the 2004 Ohio election, and what we discovered there, and which has been proven in court, is that the Ohio presidential election was rigged in 2004. And the chief rigger was Karl Rove. And that has been proven. And so I don't think that the Democrats have any, what's the right word, corner on corruption. But what we see in this election is definitely Democratic rigging. What we see now, I think this week, is the rhinos are coming out, who are probably secret Democrats at this point, because they're trying to get lined up for a Biden administration. So the zebra is showing us stripes. And so what I think that we focus on is the principles of free and fair elections and the principle of bipartisan, unbroken chain of custody. Because what these election systems that are electronic will prove is that they cannot ever promise to deliver bipartisan, unbroken chain of custody. And so what we see, it's broken all over, it's fragmented in a million pieces, and they sent some of it to Spain and some of it to Germany, and they throw some of it away and blah, blah, blah. All those things are votes that cannot be counted if it was a free and fair election. And that's what we've got to get to. So I think we have just pointed out the proof here in the U.S. Election Assurance Commission that they exempted the analysis of the Dominion machines from any study of its relationship to the Microsoft Internet Information Service. And therefore, the testing itself was broken. And so then you've got to start looking at who are the traitors that allowed that to happen, and then they send it all to Canada. So that's probably the way they're going to try to get out of it. But I think we have to dig into all this, and these people need to go to jail.
Absolutely. Paper ballots, unbroken, bipartisan chain of custody, simple as can be, and put the Secretary of State in jail, who bought these machines, signed off on the contracts, and the contracts have huge holes in them that say they're not even going to check the efficacy of these votes as they go onto the internet or when they come back from the internet. Just they're just not going to do it. It's not even going to happen. And even if they did, they have a rigged company in a foreign place that is going to, in fact, act like they checked the efficacy.
Think about it. They're sending the digits, the vote totals, to Germany. So that means the entire group of ballots that were accounted for in that number that was sent overseas doesn't satisfy bipartisan unbroken chain of custody. Therefore, they all have to be thrown out. This whole election was a fraud.
Yeah, and if you look at the fact that those machines had to have ballots that could be read, and then you look at who provided those ballots, even for machines that they didn't have control of, Smartmatic was the number one provider of ballots. And some of those ballots didn't even have the proper names on it, so they couldn't be used. They didn't have Trump's vice president's name proper. They didn't have the watermark. They didn't have the, and on the back it stated whether it was Republican or Democrat.
Some are
photocopied. They were all rigged. Pardon me?
Some were photocopied. That was documented in the Wisconsin study.
And they can be ran over and over and over. Whole batches of 50 can be ran over and over and over, all voting for one candidate. So this is absolutely not a conspiracy, but it is a conspiracy. This conspiracy involves every person who did not do their job and willingly and knowingly were complicit with this election rigging ahead of time. That would, of course, include Bill Gates. It would include all these companies that we've mentioned. And isn't it amazing that they always use Canada as their excuse to sneak into these things? Because Canada, well, they're our friends. No, they are British. That is the British crown. They are just, they are not our friends in any sense of the word. And every time you turn around, when you find the severe corruption going on, it's oftentimes shuttled through Canada.
Right. The original formation of the NSA really came from a Canadian operation of British MI6. It's all Five Eyes. Everything we're talking about is Five Eyes. So the British really like that special relationship quote that that we have. Why? Because they're in our knickers. And it not only a little bit, they've basically taken over our entire election mechanism. And I think they're going for broke in this particular election. You notice that Bill Gates is meeting with Boris Johnson, and he is pretty much dictating the lockdown system in the UK right now. So where did Bill get that power? Everybody thinks it's because of his money. I don't think so. I think he was given this power by the Pilgrim Society, and he is their latest designated front man. It's not Bill's power. It's the Pilgrim Society.
Yeah, and it's all the DARPA stooges. You know, he's a DARPA stooge. So many of these, OPTEC is a DARPA stooge.
I need to point out, we have to remember here, we haven't mentioned IBM, but if we actually dig through the Microsoft cover, what we see is IBM. And so there's a one-to-one correlation between Five Eyes and IBM's control, which they brought out of World War II, actually World War I through World War II, and then they magically gave Bill Gates the code for the disk operating system. And then Bill lived this blessed life ever since. So I think that Microsoft, you got to scratch that cover and you see IBM again. I mean, IBM categorized the Jews in Germany for the Holocaust. And they've carried on, and now they're cataloging the entire world.
So really, we never got rid of the Nazis.
No, we didn't.
Because that's what's happening right now. The whole world is being led to global genocide. It started with this face mask stuff, and they take you step by step with the forced vaccinations. You have the COVID passes. You can't travel without your papers being in order. Then you're locked in your home. You're surrounded with 5G units. Your groceries may eventually stop coming to you. You'll be terminated, exterminated in your home or in their FEMA camps where the non-compliant will go. Folks, you really got to look at what's going on. This is global genocide. Some countries are further ahead in the process. America is not quite there yet, but the world is counting on America to stop it. And we have to. We have to get real and very honest about the foreign election interference, because this is the way they're going to take over the world.
One world government, the United Nations plan, driven by the British, So let's remember, these are war actors. These are acts of war. When the CIA does it to a foreign country, it is an act of war. And whether you call it a regime change or a coup d'etat, call it what you want. It is an act of war. And sorry, we can't allow the CIA to do that anymore. We need to end it, just like John F. Kennedy said. And we need to make sure that the Department of Defense is behind any type of black ops or special ops, and that it is owned by the people who order it, not an Obama who can say, I didn't know the CIA was doing that. Oh, I didn't know. Incorrect. He knew full well about Crossfire Hurricane. He knew full well about the multiple operations that were against the Trump campaign, as well as against this coup d'etat that has been going on for 4 years. Now, it's a regime change. And the mainstream media is complicit. They are war actors also. They are criminals. Why? Because they are through a conspiracy of lies, which they all have agreed to these lies, and they know they're lies, which then violates the fact that they are able to broadcast in America. They are attempting a regime change because they don't like the leader. Well, that's what the CIA has been doing literally in dozens of countries since back to their inception. And who was it, as you pointed out, basically conceived of the CIA, conceived of these kind of black ops operations? That would be the British.
So we have hard proof in government documents of the vote rigging for the Dominion systems. That's all they need. Show those documents and you're there. You've got the foreign collusion through Canada and Germany and China for that Tuv-Sud company. When I saw that, and it's got those umlauts over the U, Tuv-Sud, not even, it doesn't even look like something that you would read in America. And I thought, why is that logo on these Dominion testing documents? And when you realize that those two documents, by the way, were passworded on the U.S. Election Commission website, then you start saying, hey, what's the funny business here? And we've got the names of the engineers who signed off on it. They ought to be called in right away to figure out who they were taking direction from. And there we have it. The entire Dominion system is fraudulent.
Well, once again, you have found the chink in the dragon's armor, and it is little Billy Gates and Microsoft Internet Information Servers. Yep. That is the mechanism. So, John Radcliffe, if you haven't figured that out, you better figure it out now, and then you will have them red-handed. These are war actors. Let's put these treasonous, seditious insurrectionists where they belong, not just in Gitmo, but at the full measure of a military tribunal that will hold them responsible for their treasonous acts.